This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
In 2008, Mark Leno was elected to the State Senate, representing California's 3rd Senate District, encompassing all of Marin County and parts of Sonoma and San Francisco counties. Senator Leno chairs the Senate Budget and Fiscal Review Committee. During his tenure in the legislature, Senator Leno has fought for better schools and access to higher education, foster youth, a cleaner and sustainable environment, single-payer universal health care, improved transportation, renewable energy, safer streets, and equal rights for all Californians. Senator Leno has also been a leader in the fight to pass legislation in the state of California to change the laws regarding flame retardants.
Thank you very much for the gracious introduction and also for the invitation to be with you all here today. And for purposes of full disclosure, I should tell you that I am an Arlene Bloom groupie. So I just follow her around wherever she goes. I'm there because I have such admiration for the work that she does. And though I am not a scientist, I am not currently, nor have I ever been, a member of the Flat Earth Society. In fact, I'm a big Nate Silver fan. I think math matters. And we can understand a lot just looking at the basic facts. Liza, thank you so much for not only this presentation, but also for your work. And I just wanted to point out, and this may be something you might want to look into further, that it's not just the contributions that a legislator can receive from the lobbyists representing the chemical industry, because there is a $3,900 cap, so you can only get so much out of one particular donor. But if a legislator is to please that lobbyist with a particular vote, let's say against our efforts dealing with these dangerous flame retardants, that lobbyist is a particularly powerful lobbyist among all the many in Sacramento because his firm represents a wide variety of other deep-pocketed industries and clients. So, for example, the same lobbyist that was working against our efforts also represents the tobacco industry and the alcohol industry and a number of other equally dangerous industries, but also with great resources. So I please lobbyist A, his name's Joe Lang in this case. He has a wide variety of other clients he can go to who can also make $3,900 contributions. So you could actually get a broader view of all of this by looking at all of his clients. With regard to, and I want to be very, very respectful of my colleagues, I certainly do not appreciate when I read in the paper, and not from, especially not from another colleague, a presumption as to why I cast a vote. You could look at my contributions and tie a contribution to a vote that I make. So I don't want to be presumptuous, and I want to be respectful of my colleagues. But I do want to just comment with regard to any colleague who might say that the science is confounding. We heard from one side, we heard from another. I'm not a scientist. In this case, one colleague is a scientist. But that notwithstanding, that it's a lot of information. That's not my expertise. So I'm just going to err on the side of fire safety. Well, in the case of one of our bills, as Michael pointed out, juvenile products, four juvenile products that we were attempting to exempt from compliance from Technical Bulletin 117, four juvenile products that the Federal Consumer Product Safety Commission deemed to be non-fire risks. So there is no risk of fire in these four products. There never has been documentation of a fire, so there are no fire risks. Let's exempt them from Technical Bulletin 117, and then that colleague still votes opposite our efforts when there's no air of fire safety to side with because there's no fire risk. Additionally, we did another bill that would have created an equally fire safety standard, which would have been a smolder standard, and which would not have required the use of these chemicals. So, and how would we know that it would be an equally fire safe standard? Well, it would be created by the same bureau that created the initial fire safety standard, Technical Bulletin 117. So Why would we doubt one and not the other? And still, that colleague would not vote with us. So it's not just about erring on the side of fire safety, because I'm a little confused about the science. So I got into this a few years back after having met Dr. Bloom and having wonderful conversations with her, coming to understand her passion and the high respect for her work in her scientific research. And going back to my days on the County Board of Supervisors, where I authored a resolution, non-binding legislation, but a first step in creating a precautionary principle for San Francisco. And I know there's some folks here who helped work on that. And of course, in shorthand, a precautionary principle is that we as consumers should not have to prove without any doubt that a consumer product is dangerous, that the manufacturer, before taking it to market, must prove with great certainty that it is, in fact, safe. And using that concept of precautionary principle with regard to toxic flame retardants, even if the science may not be 100% convincing, but keeping in mind that there's little data that shows that the use of these chemicals actually provide any benefit, then why would we want to take the risk of continuing to pour so many potentially dangerous chemicals into these products? What are we getting out of it? And as with so much in public policy making, follow the money. Why is this industry so engaged in defeating every one of our efforts to alter the status quo? And the simple answer is, they're making billions and billions of dollars. This is big business. And I had a conversation with one of my Republican colleagues the year that we were attempting to create this alternative, equally fire-safe standard so that a manufacturer could produce a product that may have the chemicals or may not, and a consumer could purchase a product that may have these chemicals or may not, labeled appropriately, making informed decisions. It's called the free market. And this Republican colleague said, "Mark, your bill's really a deregulation bill. We Republicans like deregulation. I'm supporting your bill." And the lobbyists had presumed all the Republicans would be with them voting against consumers and had ignored them. And suddenly, our bill moved out of committee initially with Republican support, trumping their efforts to get the Democrats to vote against us. Well, we got it out of the first house, and by the time it got to the Assembly, the second house, the lobbyists woke up and realized they had to screw down the votes with the Republicans as earnestly as they were with the Democrats, and they got a number of them. But my response to my Republican colleague was, yeah, isn't it fascinating? Industry doesn't really give a damn what we do. Regulate, deregulate, as long as it stuffs their pockets with more money. And that's what this is all about, an industry that, because we are regulating through Technical Bulletin 117, and I would agree with Arlene that it was created in the 1970s with all good intention, but now 40 years later, we know a lot more about the science, we know a lot more about opportunities for alternatives, and that over the years, the number of fire-related deaths, both in our homes and in our offices, have decreased significantly because we now require smoke detectors, we now require sprinklers, we require a lot of other 21st century technology that keep us safer, and the most significant cause of these fires has been cigarettes. And now we require that we have self-extinguishing cigarettes. So this whole phenomenon of fires has changed significantly since the development of Technical Bulletin 117. It makes perfect sense that we should go back and revisit it. And I know my time is limited, but I do want to make mention, you saw that burst in Marsteller at the top of Liza's slide. For those of you not familiar with this public relations firm from Madison Avenue, they are the preeminent public relations office you would call if you were in deep trouble. So who does BP Oil, British Petroleum, call after this debacle in the Gulf of Mexico? They call Burst and Marsteller to get them out of it. And keep in mind, and why I'm so adamant about this. Certainly, I believe and trust in Arlene's science. But I also have come to realize, as was so clearly revealed in the Chicago Tribune series, and I would implore all of you to read it, first to last word, that the entire lobbying effort is 100% fraudulent. And I say that with certainty because they don't come to committee and say, we're here to argue against this bill representing the chemical industry. They have to have a front group that makes them look credible. And that front group is called Citizens for Fire Safety, a creation of Burstyn Marsteller, a PR firm to confuse and obfuscate the entire issue. We are citizens. We are a grassroots effort fighting to keep our families and our children safe, fully, solely, entirely funded by those three chemical industries. So three chemical corporations from the chemical industry. So it's a lie from the start. And so Burstyn Marsteller has created this, and I'll just conclude by saying that the original concept of Citizens for Fire Safety, and you'll love the connection here, was when the tobacco industry hired Burstyn Marsteller to help them, so many decades ago, fight efforts to require them to create fire-safe cigarettes, self-extinguishing cigarettes. They didn't want to have to do that. They had to fight battles in both Congress and state houses, state legislative houses, and they created Citizens for Fire Safety because they couldn't come to these committee hearings and say we're the tobacco industry. They had no credibility. So Burstyn Marsteller created Citizens for Fire Safety for them. So the idea was don't look at our cigarettes, look at furniture. Furniture is the danger, not the cigarette, and we need to put chemicals into furniture to keep our homes safe. It's not about the cigarettes. Well, the tobacco industry finally lost that battle. They no longer had the need to spend their money on Citizens for Fire Safety, and they walked away from it. Well, guess who stepped up to the plate to continue to fund Citizens for Fire Safety? The chemical manufacturers who are making a fortune on pouring all these chemicals into our furniture. So that's the history of Citizens for Fire Safety. That's the history of the nature of this false presentation that's been lying to us all these years, that it went from the tobacco industry now to the chemical industry. And, of course, in future years, thanks to all the hard work of all of you who are here today, we will know without a doubt that the chemical industry has been just as fraudulent as the tobacco industry has been revealed to be in recent years. It's all the same players. It's all the same deep pockets and all the same people who I think I can say without much hyperbole really don't care about the health and safety of our planet or of our families and of our children. And it's hard for any of us to believe that it could actually be the case because they live on the same planet as we do. But of course, their greed has overwhelmed everything else that they're doing. So just a last thanks not only to Arlene and to Michael and all the great people who were working on this connecting science to policy at the state level. Finally, what a difference a governor makes. We saw what Arnold Schwarzenegger did. We saw what Jerry Brown did. Jerry Brown gets this. And because of him, we will have a new fire safety standard very soon, probably within the calendar year, coming calendar year. And my intent, working with Arlene and all of our coalition partners, and again, so many of those environmental and health and family advocates are here today as well, that we then put this new fire safety standard, which is an administrative act, not unlike Technical Bulletin 117, but put it into state law, put it into statute, meaning we will introduce a bill that will codify that which the administration comes up with as a new fire safety standard so that future gubernatorial administrations with a different point of view, though I don't think we're going to be electing those anymore here in California, will be able to overturn it. And so we'll put this to rest once and for all. Thank you all very much for your advocacy and for your patience.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.